Welcome to Conversations with Spirit, where we dive deep into the mystical and enchanting realms of spirituality. I'm your host, spiritual medium Lori Albert, and together with special guests, we explore a world of spiritual insights and experiences, as well as offer captivating mediumship and oracle card readings. Tune in for enlightening conversations that will uplift your soul and expand your consciousness. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Conversations with Spirit. I'm so happy to have everybody here. Thanks for joining tonight. I've got such a special show. This conversation is going to be one you don't want to miss. And I will tell you why. My very, very special guest tonight, her name is Karen Gabler. Karen is an award-winning attorney, intuitive mentor, psychic medium, animal communicator, and Reiki master. Yes, she does all those things, right? She is also a best-selling author, teacher, and inspirational speaker. I mean, seriously, like, wait till you, she just talks and you just get enveloped in who she is. It's great. Anyway, Karen is passionate about encouraging others to find their highest purpose and live their best lives. She mentors her clients through a variety of personal and business issues, marrying her practical legal and business experience with her innate intuitive ability to receive information and guidance from higher sources. She also facilitates connections with her clients, loved ones in spirit. And Karen also, she conducts workshops and presentations on a variety of business, spiritual, and personal development topics. And now you know why I couldn't wait to have her on, right? Hi, Karen. Thanks for joining tonight.
Hi, Lori. It's so great to be here. Thank you for that lovely intro.
Of course. And I want to say hi to some people that are on the chat. We've got Bex. Hi, Bex. And Cheyenne and Kelsey. Nice for you guys to join. I'm so thrilled that you're here. So thanks for joining in. So I have so much that I want us to get into in this conversation with Karen, you guys, because this particular conversation I would take notes. I'm just saying. So get out your notebook and take notes.
No pressure, Lori.
I know, right? Oh my gosh. Okay, so before we get into the whole big talk that I'm like dying to like pick your brain about, I wanted to know how an attorney taps into, and what did we say that was? Right brain, right? So being an attorney would be right brain. Is that right?
Attorney is left brain.
Left brain. Sorry. See, this is what I don't know. So there's like this left brain thing going on of an attorney, but then she's also a medium, you guys, which is so the other side of that, right? So how did that happen for you? Tell us about how your journey got started.
Oh gosh. Well, it's interesting that you're the one asking this question, and I'll tell everybody why. First of all, I didn't grow up knowing that I could connect to spirit. It was just not a part of my life at all. I originally started looking into it because I caught John Edward and his Crossing Over show on television and thought that was just the coolest thing. Went to see him. He introduced a medium named Hollister Rand, who you also know, who is in LA. And I went to her for a reading and she blew me away. And then she was hosting a workshop and I went to the workshop and I told her before the workshop, I'm not a medium. I can't talk to dead people. I just want to know how to connect with my own loved ones because I miss them. And people say they can feel them and I don't feel them. And I went to the workshop and she immediately threw me into an exercise and I was immediately reading someone and getting information and could not believe that I could actually do this. Interestingly, the next step from that is I met a good mutual friend of ours, Elise, who took me to a new development circle with Ed and with you.
Oh my gosh.
You were, this has got to be, Lori, 8 or 9 years ago, at least.
Okay.
You were one of the very first people that worked with me when I was a baby medium, not even knowing what on earth I was doing.
Oh my gosh.
And guided me and helped me and put up with me coming up with crazy things as I developed along the way. And I'm so grateful to you for all of the help you gave me.
Oh my gosh. I had no idea. I mean, you know, I had no idea. That's amazing. Well, thank you for saying that.
Oh no, you were just, I mean, remember back in the beginning, maybe some of the newbies who are listening will think about this. Do you remember in the very beginning, I would just burst into tears in the middle of a reading because the emotion was so strong that I just was overwhelmed by the feeling coming through? I think new people don't realize that you can go through that where you're just learning how to process somebody else's emotions running through your energy.
It's so funny because I work with a lot of newbies, right? And you know, my students, oh, I cry, don't worry. And I'm like, it's okay to cry. It's okay to cry. It's okay to laugh. It's okay to get like the weirdest things and just, but you gotta give what you get, you know, you gotta just, yes, I love that.
So I can attest to how wonderful you are working with newbies because you worked with me when I was one, and I will be forever grateful.
Oh my gosh. Those were times, boy, I'll tell you. Long time. It seems like forever ago, right?
It does. It really does. It was a long time ago, probably close to a decade.
So, how would you say that your spirituality has, well, I don't want to say, I guess I want to say developed, but shifted maybe, you know, since then? Because I do have, I've got some students here that are on our Instagram feed, and I want them to know that this is totally normal. So, you know, how would you say that you have developed, because it's been many years now, so.
Well, taking a lot of workshops, learning from a lot of different teachers along the way, taking in a lot of information about how it works for different people, practice, 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 practice. The biggest change that I've experienced, and this has been more in the last, I would say, 3 or 4 years, that has really shifted my own development and the work that I do for my own clients, is breaking away from the rules that I've been taught. You know, as an attorney, I obviously left brain. I came into it with, I want to know the rules. I want to know how it works. What's happening in your body? What's the next step? Tell me step 1, 2, 3, 4. Give me an outline. I'll figure out how to do it. That put me in such a box to the point where it was probably about 4 years ago when spirit just kind of wasn't really working with me, just sitting in the background waiting until I started to have fun with it again, until I found my joy with it again, until I realized that my style, my approach was my own. Spirit wants to work with us for who we are, not to try to be someone else, not to try to be like your mentor, not to try to be like someone you saw on TV or in a demonstration. There is a place for everyone. And there is a resonance with all kinds of different people. And it wasn't until I broke away from all the lessons and started just flowing with it that everything started coming in for me so much more strongly.
That's so interesting. It's a form of surrender, you know? Surrendering to whatever spirit has for you know? Wow, amazing. Oh my gosh. And so look where you are now. Now, like, things are, you know, moving forward for you. I mean, that's such an amazing thing. And what I want to tell everybody is that Karen is part of a book that I'm going to say this wrong. Karen wrote a chapter of this book. And the book is called Awaken Your Magic. And it is manifestation stories. And I was just telling Karen before, because I bought the book, right? And I'm reading through her story, and it's like she invites you into her heart. You guys, it's like it was absolutely amazing to read that because you were so descriptive. And everything that you said in the book, I was like, in your story in the book, I was like, I get that, you know? I mean, and it was so beautiful. And
Thank you.
when I saw that, I was like, oh my gosh, she's like all into, not that you have to be a medium to be into manifestation or anything like that, but you being into manifestation in that particular way just warms my heart, you know? I mean, I love that because we need more people to teach it, to show the world that things can be manifested. Sometimes you don't even know that you're manifesting, but you are.
Yes, right? Yes, that's so true, which is the crux of my story about, it's called Manifesting in Spite of Myself.
I love that. Go ahead, tell us the story and then you can do it in a nutshell. You don't have to, you know, you can do whatever you want.
Starting from page one.
Yeah. No, I love it. Bring it on.
It's, you know, it's funny. We can manifest in a very active way. And your book, which is brilliant and just, it's Manifestation Journal for Beginners. You guys have got to read this. It's amazing. But there's a very active approach. There's a very targeted approach, making the effort, putting in the commitment to do it. There's also the manifestation, as you said, that happens when you don't even know it's coming. And for me, it was looking at what my life really needed to be. Most of the story talks about me really committing to my legal career and kind of setting aside what I wanted for my family, what I wanted for my life, what I wanted for my spiritual work, and just diving into what I thought I needed to do, what I had put all of my time and energy into for. I mean, I've been an attorney for 32 years. I had put all kinds of time and energy, really was pushing in that direction. Spirit just had a different plan for me. And kind of hit me, I talk about in the story, hit me with a bit of a spiritual 2x4. And it was a little painful, quite frankly, to go through the experience, but to come out on the other side and realize if I had listened to the whispers, if I had listened to my spirit, if I had listened to my soul, my true nature, the stirrings that were happening inside of me, the messages that were coming to me, I wouldn't have had to reach the 2x4. I would have followed that guidance and missed the pain. So I'm hoping from that story that people will learn more about listening to yourself before it gets to the point where spirit is saying, okay, wrong path, back up. I'm taking you over here. Let's go.
Oh, amazing. I mean, because, and that I think is such an important, it's such an important point to manifestation. You know, I mean, spirit is going to help you whether you want it or not. In a sense, right? I mean, maybe you could say that better than I could.
They're gonna, well, you know, I tell people, I've received so many messages when I'm working with clients in readings that center around the fact that you cannot get off your path. Yeah. You cannot. You may delay it. You may circle around and come back to it. You may sit on a rock on the side of the path for a while and not move forward. But you can't do it wrong and you can't get off the path. And if you're straying too far from it, spirit's going to nudge you back to it. You're going to get messages that take you back where you're meant to be. And sometimes, you know, it might be the divorce that takes you to the partner of your dreams. Mm-hmm. It might be the termination, the layoff that takes you to a new career that fulfills your heart. I mean, it's just sometimes it feels brutal in the moment. But we're always being nudged back into our purpose and back into our path.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. 100%. And that kind of leads me to the question being, and this is, we were talking about this before we went live, and it's just so fascinating to me because so many people, you know, and I'm not disparaging, you know, like Louise Hay, who I adore and love, right? Yeah. She was an incredible human being, but there, and it's not like she dissed the spiritual aspect to manifestation, but I think that people missed that part with her. She was so into the affirmations, which I am so into as well. Don't get me wrong. Right.
Right.
But the spiritual aspect, as I was writing my book, I was thinking about the spiritual aspect to manifestation. And it's so interesting because spirituality and manifestation really do go hand in hand, you know? And it's like, I think that sometimes we forget that a little bit, you know? I mean, as light workers, we sort of forget that. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
I think you're so right. And it's, you know, there are different tools to use. And I love to think of Louise Hay's affirmations as one of the tools to use. I know you talked about that a lot in your book, about the different ways to bring the tools together to really enhance your manifestation efforts. Mm-hmm. But from the spiritual side of it, you know, it's if you are trying to manifest something that isn't right for you, your soul knows better. Your soul knows where you really need to go. Now, you may, as I said, you may take that detour for a while, but you're going to get nudged back into place at some point. So if you're asking for something for the wrong reasons, if you're asking for something that someone else wants for you, that isn't really what you want for yourself, that takes you away from a lesson you're meant to learn, there is that spiritual aspect of we're not going to give you whatever you ask for if it's not what your soul really knows is right for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? And that goes along with what you were saying about your path. Like, so you believe that we all have our own individual path. Is that correct?
I do, but you know, the way that sounds is very narrow and very, no matter what you do, you're stuck. That's what you're going to do when you're here. There's no getting off.
Yeah.
I do believe there are any number of paths to take to get to the end. It's sort of like when you're on the freeway and you take a detour, but you end up where you needed to go anyway. Yeah. Or you've circled around and you've done something on the side for a while, but you end up where you needed to go anyway. Right. You could have 50 different jobs that take you to your ultimate purpose. You could have 10 different relationships that teach you what your purpose wanted you was there to teach you. Right. So it's not one path in the sense of you can only do this no matter what you think you want. Yeah. It is you have goals, you have lessons, you have something you are here to do to serve in some way. Big, small, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And you could take any branch of the tree and still wind up growing up to the top of that tree.
Yeah. Well, it's so interesting because that is exactly how I feel about it, right? And, you know, I'm 58 now, right? So I finally understood this in the last, I don't know, maybe 10 years, something like that, right? Because mm-hmm. Like I remember doing like when I was, you know, I started out my career, I was in the music industry and I was a backup singer and I was a singer. I shouldn't say backup singer because that was just one small aspect of it. But, and I would do different things and I got to be a performer. Right. And I think, looking back, you think, well, what does a performer have anything to do with mediumship or spirituality? You know, and then there's all these other things that happen in between. I got a chance to go visit most of the veterans hospitals throughout the United States, right? Oh. So what does all this have to do with anything, right? Like, what does it have to do with spirituality? Well, now that I'm a little bit older, I get that I can easily do lives on the internet because I'm not scared, because I perform so much. I'm just not scared to say my piece, as you well know, you know, as everybody on here probably knows well, I'm just not scared to talk in front of people. And that it doesn't wig me out like it does some people, right?
Sure.
And then also, I also learned, because I was really young whenever we would go to the veterans hospitals, and I remember learning, and this is going to sound strange, but I was 20 years old, learning compassion in such a deep way. I mean, it's like, you know, I like to think I'm compassionate, you know, we all like to think we're compassionate, but when you see guys sitting in front of you that are missing their leg or, you know, or whatever, right? You learn compassion in a whole different way. And those things can shift you, you know? And that's how I started to learn that I had empathy and that, you know, and thus later on in life, learning that I am an empath, you know? So it's like all those things lead up to, you know, where I am today. So
see, there's another piece of that though, that strikes me as you're talking about that.
Yeah, what's that?
As you are singing, as you are performing there, I mean, music touches the soul.
Oh, sure.
Whether it's the lyrics, whether it's the tone, it takes you to a different place. It allows you to feel like someone else understands your life and what you're going through, or that you're not alone. Mm-hmm. And I see real parallels in touching people through those performances, lifting them to a different place, just as you would in mediumship, to touch them, to heal them, to lift them to a different place when you're making a connection.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Which is so beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, it's again, we are right now in this present moment, we are the sum total of our entire life. Whether you want, whether you've murdered somebody or whether you're little Miss Happy Sunshine. Do you know what I mean? It's like, we are the sum total. We all learn from every single experience that we have, you know? oh, hi, Karen. Thank you. Nice to see you, Karen. That's Karen Quint, not you. I mean, you were probably
right.
Why I was saying Karen.
Nice to see you too, Lori.
So I mentioned real quickly in, and I was talking about your bio, that you are an animal communicator. How did that come about? How did you, like, did animals just start kind of showing up for you? Or like, how did that work out for you?
That's, I love doing that work. And I do animal communication with living animals, as well as animal mediumship mm-hmm. with pets that have crossed. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I am tonight turning in my next book about pause and purpose, dealing with animal communication and the lessons that they've taught us.
Oh my gosh, that's great.
It is near and dear to my heart. It's, you know, it's another facet of the psychic communication and the mediumship communication that we do. And it's really interesting to me. And what the next piece is about is how much animals really tap into why they are with us and what they're meant to teach us. Mm-hmm. And it is absolutely fascinating. There is just one quick story on that I'm including in the book is a piece with a horse that is working with a young girl. She's really sweet. She has a lot of trouble setting boundaries. She gets pushed around a lot. She gets dumped on a lot. And her horse was a tremendous, tremendous challenge, hopping around, bucking, throwing her off at fences. And when I communicated with him, I was asking him, why so challenging? Why is this always difficult? What needs to happen differently? And he said, I'm here to teach her to set boundaries with the ones that you love.
Oh my gosh.
And he talked about that more and more to say, when she learns to stand up to me, she will learn to stand up for herself.
Oh my gosh.
And it just was phenomenal to see that he was processing this of, I'm going to help her with this. I'm going to bully her until she takes charge in the saddle so that she learns that she has strength and she can take charge.
Yeah.
It was fascinating.
Oh my gosh. So how did that come about for you? Like, how did you recognize that you could speak to the animals? I mean, how did that, you know, I mean, it sounds like you're Mr. What was his name? Dr. Doolittle.
Mr. Ed. Dr. Doolittle, Mr. Ed. Yes. You know, it's funny.
Mr. Ed. I forgot about Mr. Ed.
Right? Remember the talking horse?
I love Mr. Ed.
They talk really, really, most of them talk easily. Some of them aren't interested in talking. But it's funny because, again, with me and my left brain, I went to a workshop with an animal communicator thinking, well, this is really cool. I want to learn how she's doing this, and did it myself and surprised myself talking to somebody else's animal and describing the bedroom that he liked to stay in with her. Mm-hmm. Didn't know I could do it, and then just continued with it. And I have a horse, and so I am in a barn with a large group of horses and wonderful people that have them. And so I get a lot of practice chatting with them and having them tell me what they want their owners to know. It's a lot of fun.
Oh,
so I started this year working on animal mediumship specifically as well, because as you know, the humans typically come in stronger, push their way in. Those are the ones that want to talk. But there are a lot of people who really want to hear from their animals who have passed. There are children and there are fur babies. And so that's another facet of being able to really connect in with them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so funny. That's exactly what Melanie just said. She's like, I would love to learn that aspect of mediumship and also communicate with her fur babies. So, I mean, you know, it, and I think it's like, what would you suggest to her that she do? Like, are there, like, do you know people that do this, like that teach it and stuff, or?
Yeah, I'm actually working with one of my mentees to help her make those connections as well. But practicing with people who can validate information the animals are providing is the best way to strengthen that muscle. Make sure it's really, I will tell you, it's very hard to talk to your own animals in some ways because your brain fills in information you know they would say because you know things about them. It's easier to progress, to get stronger in that gift, in that ability, if you are practicing with people where you don't know what they would say and they can validate that information for you.
So when you were young, did you always ha feel like that you had a strong bond with animals?
Yes, absolutely. And that's hereditary as well. My mother took in strays over and over and over again. I've done the same. Every animal I've ever owned has had something terribly wrong with it that most people would not bother to deal with. And I know they just come to me because I'll deal with anything and I'll take care of them no matter what.
Wow. I mean, now, okay, and we were talking a minute ago about looking back throughout our lives, so when you were young and these animals that had stuff going on with them, like, who would have ever thought? Like, or did you ever think? Like in when you're a kid, and you're sort of playing around with your animal and stuff, did you ever think to yourself, I can hear what you're saying? Like, did you ever like think that or?
I didn't think about it consciously because as I became aware of information, I didn't have any frame of reference to know that that was unique. I just thought that that's how people felt about things. I had the same experience in my law career. I remember going into a meeting. I've told this story before, but I went into a meeting with a client that everybody said was incredibly difficult. No one could talk to her, no one could get along with her. She was furious that she was being sued by an employee who accused her of fraud. I walked in and I could just feel the pain and feel the insecurity coming off of her. She opened with attitude and I said, I can't imagine how painful it must be after 20 years in your career to be accused of fraud when you've tried to do so much to help. She burst into tears and completely opened up. Nobody had ever said anything to her about her feeling. And my colleague said, how did you know what to say to her? And honestly, my feeling was, how does anybody not? It's just pouring out of her. And you just, when you're an empath, you can feel other people's pain. You can feel their insecurities. You can feel the anger, but you can feel what's behind the anger. And that has really served me in my legal career as much as it serves me in my mediumship work.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
That's absolutely incredible. So if this question isn't appropriate, just tell me. And that now that I've like warned you, she's probably like, oh my God.
You know, now
But
I'm curious.
but do you use your empathic nature? I mean, obviously the story you just told, you do use your empathic nature. Do you ever use like your psychic stuff or your mediumship? Like, do mediums ever, I'm sorry, do spirits ever come through when you're with a client or something? Or how do you manage that? Or do they not? Do they respect the boundaries? Or, you tell me.
They will come through. It is less dramatic, less active than when I'm doing my spirit work because I'm in that left brain. And so I'm focusing on that information. I will get a feeling for what does somebody need to hear to let go of this battle? What does somebody need to know to lay down their weapons and to come to some resolution and bring peace? And it's, my team at one point gave me a little fake crown that says Settlement Queen on it that was in my office because I could tell what people needed to be able to come to peace, to be able to resolve their disputes. I do have, and we've talked about this in the past, I have a very strong sense of ethics. I don't attack read people. I don't walk up to a stranger and announce that their loved one is around them unless I get a really dramatic sign that they need to hear that. Like if somebody said, I really wish I could talk to my dad right now and I can feel him standing there, I might say something and ask if they're open to that. But most of the time, I'm not going to spring that on someone.
Right. Exactly. Right. And there are, that's the whole, I shouldn't say the whole, but that's like a big, to me as well. That's a big part of what we, it's important for us. And that's how the word psychic gets such a bad name, because people are just willing to go off and do whatever, you know? I mean, it's like,
No, you have to have those ethical boundaries. And that's, you know, for instance, I would never in a legal case try to feel into, you know, what number would they settle for? You know, where are they lying? I'm never going to kind of, you know, invade somebody's files like that.
But
you do, as you know, as an empath, you just, you get feelings about where people are hurting and where they need help.
I think that's why I appreciate you so much, because I know, I mean, it, from the minute one that I met you, that, you know, ethics, integrity, honesty, all of that stuff is like forefront of you. And you know what's great is that it just dawned on me is that that's who you are. You just are that. Do you know what I mean? It's like you are truth.
Oh, that means so much to me.
And I mean that sincerely, because that's, you just exude that, you know, like I know when I talk to Karen Gaegler, I'm going to get the truth, you know? And you know what, another thing that I just love about you, and I don't mean to sound all like, oh, we're in a love. But it's like, I want the truth. And I tell my friends this, I want the truth if it hurts. I just want the truth. You know, when I'm being too much, tell me, Laura, you're being too much, you know, like, tell me, you know, and I love, and I'm not saying that, you know, you would ever be rude that way, but I'm just saying that, like, I appreciate that about you, because, I think that's, I wish there was more of that in this world. I wish that there was more of that in this industry. I'm going to call it an industry, you know, light workers and all of that stuff. So,
yeah, it is. It's true. And, you know, you take the good with the bad. I know one of my biggest disappointments when I started working in this industry of spirit workers is I expected everybody to be filled with love and light. Always. Because, I mean, coming out of the legal world where everybody's battling, and I just felt like these people are going to just support each other and love each other. And, you know, humans are humans. There's insecurities, there's competition, there's fears. People are people. They all have their own triggers. I have my own as well. And, you know, we just have to be gentle with each other.
Absolutely. You know, and that's why, you know, so like mediums and psychics are, you know, like people think that we are tapped into like the whole spiritual everything, right? That, you know, all of that. And that's great because we sort of are. However, we have a choice though, if, you know, we have a choice as to how much spirituality we bring to our mediumship gifts and our psychic gifts. We have a choice to do that. You know, that's, I know lots of mediums that are not spiritual at all. And it's up to you. You know, everybody does their own thing. I just, you know, just, you know, I have a student who decided one day she was going to go to a psychic, you know, because she was just starting to open up her gifts and she was all excited. And so she went to this like psychic, you know, $25 reading, you know, kind of thing. So she goes there and she says, oh, you have a curse. And the girl's like, oh my God, seriously?
Yes, but she could pay her to lift it.
Like $700, $800. If you give me that, I will lift the curse. And I'm just like,
I hate
she knew because she was very intuitive. She is very intuitive. So she knew, you know, but it's like,
I know. Nobody's cursed. No, but you can feel cursed. You can be made to believe you're cursed, but you're not actually cursed. I hate it when anybody claims to do spirit work, but claims to be the only person that can fix something for you. because really the opportunity to connect, the opportunity to heal, all of it is within every person. I see my spiritual work not as something I'm bestowing upon people, but just facilitating the healing that already needs to happen, the conversation with the loved one that didn't happen or that needs to happen, or that brings that love to you, brings that healing to you. We're really just facilitating. We're not doing some magical thing and everybody should bow down and say, wow, you're so amazing. No, we're just facilitating what spirit wants to do to connect with those that they love and to guide and to help. It's always love. It's always helpful.
Yeah. And they all, and it all come, it does come back to love. You know, love the high, like, you know, David G says periodically, you know, the highest vibration wins, you know, it's like love is the highest vibration, right? So, you know, it's so super important. And here's the thing. And I think you agree with me on this is that, you know, it's, you know how like you walk into a room and there's going to be, there's like 20 different people. Well, there's going to be 20 different energies in that room. Yes. And you're going to vibe, you're going to walk up to one of those people and go, oh my God, you're like my new best friend, you know? And then you're going to look over at somebody else and go, I'm just going to go this way, the opposite way, you know, but that's the way it is with when you're looking for a medium or a psychic, that's how it's going to be. And when we sit and we say like, this has happened several times. Like somebody would call me for a reading and I would be like, I am not supposed to be the one to read you. And they get upset with that. And I apologize usually profusely, but I just know. So I will, you know, refer them to somebody else. And it's not like a negative thing. It's not like you suck. So I'm not going to, you know, it's just, you know, to me, there is no competition in this. It's just vibrations meeting or not meeting, you know?
Yes.
So
absolutely.
Yeah. Have you ever done that where you like, you know, you're kind of, they want a reading, but you kind of know you're not supposed to read them. Oh my God.
Yes. Yes. Pickle. You can feel that and know I'm not the right medium to help you with what you're looking for. And part of that is because it comes down to what is the style and what do you bring through? Some people, for example, are really brilliant with just factual evidence. And they would be the most outstanding with someone who just feels like my loved one isn't really there and needs to have it proven. Yeah. There are other people who need to have a conversation, need to know why did this happen or why didn't this happen? That's kind of my sweet spot, is working with people who need to have a conversation or need to understand something that happened in that relationship or need to understand why things went the way that they went, or wants to reconnect and feel that love. I'm much more involved in the relationships and the conversations and the emotion behind it. And that's just one example where your needs are going to be different and they'll be different throughout your life. I needed a whole lot of evidence when I first started looking into this area. And now I know for sure that they're there. And now I want to know, okay, let's talk. What do you want to say? That's much more meaningful to me now.
Right. And that's the fun part when you start to learn about that, you know. I know that you went to Arthur Finley. Yeah.
I didn't physically go to Arthur.
I'm sorry.
No, I have worked with a number of the tutors from there, mostly here in the United States and on Zoom. I haven't physically gone over there yet.
Okay, then I don't feel so bad because I haven't been there either. But
we'll go together then.
Yeah, right. Oh my God, that'd be so much fun. But I remember years ago, I kind of wondered if you were there. James Van Praagh, who, if you guys don't know who James Van Praagh is, he's like a bigger deal. And Mavis Patillo was with him, and we went to this thing. He was down in Southern California, and it was like, ooh, that was something. Because he was even like Mavis was, when Mavis was here, you guys, she was an English medium, and she was having none of this coddling thing. I loved that about her. She just wasn't like, you know, She was just, there was no coddling. She was just telling you what you needed to do, what you needed to work. She just knew. And, yes. and it was like, but I love that because that's that English medium. And I need that. I don't want somebody to coddle me and say, well, maybe you meant blah, 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 whatever. You know, I needed somebody to say to me, you know, no, that's not right. You need to do it this way or whatever. You know?
No, absolutely. Mavis was, I did a mentorship with her for a good long time. And she was one of my harshest critics, but it made me better, you know, it lifted my abilities and it made me step it up. And so she was a brilliant, brilliant medium.
Yeah.
I mean, she was the one who would be able to say the red ring is in the blue velvet box underneath the yellow folder in the third drawer down of the nightstand on the left side of the room.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's amazing. Oh my gosh. Oh, I love that. Oh my gosh. So who else have you worked with? Did you work with Denise Lynn?
I've worked with Denise Lynn quite a bit. I've worked with Tony Stockwell quite a bit from Arthur Finley, Andy Bing, Chris Drew, Lisa Williams, Hollister Rand, my first teacher who I still adore. Colin Bates, so many great teachers out there.
Yeah. And that's why I wanted to ask you that. Cause I thought I remembered you telling me that you had worked with all these people, and there are tons of teachers out there. You guys, you just need to find who it is that you vibe with, you know, like, and you know, like sometimes you might want somebody like a Mavis who's just going to tell it like it is and be critical of everything. You need that sometimes, you know, sometimes you need somebody that's going to be a little bit easier, you know, and you'll find if you create the intention, then you will find what you need, you know? I would like to ask you, it's interesting, my segues here, you know, I would like to ask you about intention setting. What do you think about intention setting? Like when somebody is first starting out, whether it's their spiritual journey, like altogether, or a mediumship journey, like what do you feel about intention setting, and how would you tell somebody to do that?
I think it's absolutely critical. And part of it goes back to that communication with spirit we were talking about. If you state your intention, you are announcing it to spirit, you are announcing it to your own soul, you are announcing it for yourself. Mm-hmm. You are opening that gateway where things will start to happen for you because you've said, this is what I want. And there's no magical way to say it. You can journal it. You can say it out loud. You can do a ceremony. You can say it in your head. You can mention it when you wake up in the morning. But however you set that, the minute you put that thought out there, this is something I want to pursue. This is something I want to change. Everything is starting to fall into place to help you. And that really goes back to, you know, we started talking about manifestation. Manifestation practices to me are an act of love for yourself, to acknowledge what you want, to commit to pursuing it, to set the intention to bring it into your existence.
Yeah.
It's an act of self-love to really pursue what is going to make your heart sing, what is going to move you along your path.
Yeah. Yeah. And that could be spiritual development. It could be, you know, having the career of your dreams. It could be having the mate of your dreams, you know, it could be anything.
Yeah.
I love that.
One of the things that I've worked on with a lot of my coaching clients as well is sometimes we get so stuck on the one thing we want that we don't look at why we want it, which might take us in a different direction. So if you had that career in your mind, for example, I want to work in this job, period. If you're focused on, I got to be at that company or I have to have this title, you're getting yourself a little bit stuck. But if you instead sit back and think, what do I like about that? I like working with people. I like flexible deadlines. I like to work in an office with others, or I prefer to work by myself. If we drill down into what are we looking for and what draws us to that thing, then we create expansion instead of limitation, because we are able to see that there may be, like I said earlier, 10 different paths to get to what you want.
Yeah.
Rather than saying, if I don't take this path, then I don't want it at all. Well, yeah. Then we just missed out on all of those things that we wanted that yeah. led us there.
Yeah. And that's so interesting, because that's one of the main things that I was teaching in my workshop that I just did, in that it may not look, you may set an intention for whatever. It may not look exactly like what you have envisioned. However, it's yes. going to be what you need. It's going to be better. It's going to be exactly what you need. And sometimes people don't quite get that, I think.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. You got to let go of the expectations, like you're saying, yes. you know,
and the timing and how it looks. It's, mm-hmm. you know, it's funny. There's setting the intention with expansion. If you say, for example, I will only look for a guy named Mark who has brown hair. Well, yeah. you know, what if Bill is fabulous? What if blonde Mark is fabulous? You know, yeah. there's so many other pieces that could be there, but there's setting the broad intention of what am I actually looking for? I am looking for a partner that makes me feel desired. I am looking for a partner who makes me feel like I could take on the world.
Yeah.
As opposed to, and he has to be a stockbroker. I mean, you know, it's
right.
What's going to make you sing? And yeah. then, like we were talking about earlier, putting the action with that. I always yeah. say, you know, and you've talked about this. I know you mentioned in your book, if you don't put any action behind that intention, it's like, you know, daydreaming about how you're going to spend lottery money without ever buying a ticket.
Right.
To a point, you're wasting your energy.
Yeah.
So if you actually take steps, you know, when we talk about live as though the manifestation has already occurred, live mm-hmm. as though that's already a part of your life.
Yeah.
And people will say, well, but then I'm doing all the work. No, you're opening up that vibration. Yeah. You're meeting spirit halfway.
Yeah.
You are, yeah. you know, if you are someone who wants health and vitality, what would a person who has health and vitality do? They mm-hmm. might go for a walk. They might yeah. spend some time near the ocean. They yeah. might have a better night's sleep. You know, we have to actually live those intentions.
Yeah.
And then watch the universe join us in that effort.
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, that's so beautifully said. So I'm saying you need to write a book on it. It's just like the way you speak, and it's like, and your tone as you're speaking is just so beautiful. We have a great question from okay. Charsky on Instagram, and it says, any tips for learning to trust what you're receiving? I realized I was a medium almost a year ago, and I find that I have these beautiful connections with great evidence, but still question what I am receiving.
Oh gosh. I mean, isn't that
been there,
all of it in a nutshell?
Yeah, no, right? That's a great question, Charlie.
It is such a good question. And honestly, the best way to do it is to just do it and then to be validated. Because when you get the out of the box thing, you get the crazy thing and you say it and then it's true. It's just, I remember, and this actually goes back to our development circle, Lori, and I know you were there that night, but it was years ago. You probably don't remember, but I was reading this woman. This was very early on. I didn't trust myself at all. I'm getting this information. I'm flailing around. And our group leader said, what does he want to say to her? I was talking to her father. He said, what does he want to say? And the first thought that popped into my mind, I thought, I'm not saying that. I can't say that out loud. And then I thought, all right, you know what? This is a practice group. I'm going to mm-hmm. say it. And I said, he wants to say, don't drop the baby. And she burst into tears. And it makes me cry thinking about it. She said, my father was an obstetrician. And the last thing my mother said to him every morning before he left for work was, don't drop the baby.
Oh my gosh.
Now, if I hadn't had the courage to say that,
yeah,
that was the one kernel
yeah.
that changed the reading for her. I mean, all of the things, like he carried a brown briefcase. Okay. Yeah. Lots of men do. I mean, right. you know, yeah. There's no emotion behind that. I'm getting it. It's true.
Yeah.
But that one kernel just flipped the switch. And so I would say to anyone who's having trouble trusting, those nuggets where you get something and you think, no way, you just say it. And if it's wrong, then you say, you know what? Okay, I'm just going to take that back and leave it alone. Maybe it'll come back in a different way.
Yeah.
But just having the courage to say what comes, and when it happens, the jolt that you get from spirit when they're so excited that you were willing to say it, and that's what they wanted to get across. Yeah. I mean, you could ride that high for months.
Yes, absolutely.
It's so amazing.
Charsky, does that answer your question? I hope so, because that she couldn't have said it any, that was the perfect way to describe how you need to do it. You just do it, you know, you just do it.
Well, and you know what? I will say as well, you know, do it with people that where you feel safe, you know, be in a group where you feel safe, where you can practice, where you can make mistakes and support each other. If you're in a group where you feel like people are waiting for you to fail so that they feel better about themselves, wrong group. Find a group where everybody's willing to support you and laugh at the silly things that we say, and then you'll be able to have more experiences where you're right and it builds your confidence.
Yes, absolutely. And that's such a great point of, getting with the right group of people, getting, you know, take a class and then find a development circle, because that's where you grow. That's where you grow, practicing every single week. So Katie says, test the waters and see where or how it falls. And that's part of the whole thing. And Cheyenne says that gave her instant chills again. So I love it. And then Jennifer Phillips is here. Hi, Jennifer. Nice to see
Jennifer.
You.
Hi, Jennifer. We love her.
Oh my gosh, she is a very special lady. I'll have to get her on this show too. So
yes.
Very special lady. And Debbie's here. Debbie Romero. Love Debbie.
Oh,
Debbie
hi,
was a
Debbie.
Guest a couple of weeks ago. She is, oh my gosh, she is like so good. Okay, so sorry, Debbie. I'm just gonna tell you right now. She is so fast at what she does. And it was like reading. And she was like, yes, and blah, blah, blah. And this, blah, blah, blah. Oh my God, it was amazing. She was
my
students were like, can I do that? And I'm like, yeah, practice. You just got to keep trying.
That's right. Just keep doing it. I mean, it's magical. Just keep doing it.
It's definitely. So and Jeffrey just came on.
Jeffrey.
And Debbie Romero says hi to Jennifer. And they're on two different things. So one is Instagram, the other one is Facebook.
Well, really all mediumship communities jumping in together.
I love that. That's so, Debbie, it's so good to see you. Oh my gosh. So yeah, if anybody else has any questions, this is a really great time to ask Karen some questions, because first of all, she just has this way of describing things. And this is what I'm talking about, that book that she wrote, Awaken Your Magic. I mean, you know, I mean, there are multiple stories in there, but Karen's is just like, man, I mean, it was good, you know, really amazing.
Thank you so much.
The way you speak, and you, it just feels like a nice warm hug, you know, like every time you speak, seriously.
Oh, thank you.
Karen, and Jennifer says, Karen always has the perfect words. So yeah, so true. So true. I love it.
You guys are really good for me. I need to spend a lot of time here with you.
I love it. That is so awesome. So yeah, if anybody has any questions, bring it on. So let me just ask another question along these lines, because we do have a lot of newbies that listen to this and watch this. Oh, Kelsey says, my dreams always seem to come true, but people say it's just a dream. What should I think about that?
The first thing you should think about that is when somebody tells you you're wrong and it's just this or it's just that, then you ignore them and you walk away from that. And what you're feeling is what you are feeling. If your dreams are coming true, then it's a premonition, it's a prediction, it is your soul preparing you for what is coming. That's brilliant. Feel into that. Watch for how it shows up. Watch for proof. Watch for signs, validation that what you're feeling is something you should be paying attention to. I've always said, you know, with a dream, And this goes with visits as well from loved ones. If you have the standard dream where you wake up and you know what happened, but then 10 minutes later, you have absolutely no idea. You couldn't describe it if you tried. It's random mind games. Let it go. But if you have a dream where you remember everything that happened, or you have a visit from a loved one and you can remember it vividly. I still remember a dream I had when I lost my mother 3 decades ago. And she came to visit me shortly after she passed. And I still, to this day, could describe the dream top to bottom, beginning to end. Absolutely a visit. No question about it. So if you can remember, and if it's thorough, and if you could repeat it and it stays with you, then it's a message to pay attention to. It's a visit from a loved one. It's something to really think about. And I know I see Kelsey mentions that, you know, my dad always comes in my dreams. That's wonderful. And saying it's kind of freaky. It can be a little bit freaky when you first are experiencing messages, visits, you know, it can be a little shocking, and it's okay. I want you to remember that you always have control over what's happening. If you feel like spirits are visiting you at night, you tell them, you may not interrupt my sleep. You do not disturb me in my home. When I am working, you can come to me. When I am not working, you stay away and you leave me alone. You set your boundaries with the spirit world, just like you set your boundaries in the human world. No, you may not call me and expect me to answer the phone at 1 in the morning. No, you may not show up in my bedroom and think that I'm going to communicate for you. Set your boundaries. They will respect your boundaries. If they're not respecting them, you're not actually setting them.
And you know what's so funny? I always laugh about that, because right when I first was developing, I was like, okay, I'm going to set the boundaries. And so I had this candle. It was one just like this, you know, these the dollar kinds you get at the grocery store, right? So I had this candle. I said, you can only come to me, spirits, when this candle is lit. And then I was like, oh my God, right? So I'm like, I'm lighting it all the time. And then all of a sudden I'm like, nobody's coming. So then I was like, well, never mind. You can come anytime.
Yes. No, I mean, that's the other thing to think about too. And I will say this for the people who are developing. As you are developing, you will find that you start to become really confident and really comfortable with the way information comes to you. And then all of a sudden it's not happening anymore. And I used to go through phases where I would say, okay, I am no longer a medium. Nobody's talking to me. Years ago. What happens is, as spirit gets comfortable with the way you're picking up information, they will level it up and they will start to give you things in a new way. And for a while, it feels like I got nothing. I can't connect with anything. Nothing is coming through to me. None of my information works anymore. It's because you're in that phase where you're still relying on what worked for you, and spirit is saying, let's do it differently now. Yeah. So when you have those down moments, when you have those phases where you're thinking this used to work, it doesn't work, please just trust that spirit is working with you even harder, and they are leveling you up to do it in a new way.
Yeah. So we have enough time for one other question. We got one on Instagram, and this Nanushka says, do animals pick their owners before they assume their physical bodies, or is there a higher entity that assigns them based on what the owner needs? That's a great question.
It is a great question. And I will tell you, I'm not an animal myself in this incarnation. I don't know for sure. I can tell you what they have said to me. I have heard animals say that they waited for their owner. So as to whether they come into a body to be with their owner, I'm not sure. But I will say, you know, in one case, for example, a horse that came to another owner in the barn, she said the person that she bought him from told her that he had really misbehaved with the prior person that tried him. And when I was asking him why he came to her, and he said, I had to wait for her. I had to be really bad with somebody else because that wasn't the person I was meant to come to. So I waited for her and I behaved myself with her when she showed up, because I knew she's who I was supposed to be with. So they know, whether they know before they come into the body, I don't know, but they know for sure in life who they are meant to wind up with and where they are meant to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally. Wow. That was amazing. I love the way you said that. Just real quick, Kelsey says, my dad used to come in my dreams every night for years. Then 3 months, he didn't come. Now he's back all the time again. That's great. Oh, and then she also says, when my dad passed, I got his dogs and they were my children. So
yeah,
that's awesome.
And that's, you know, people do ask about that as well, about what if my loved ones came to me and now they're not coming to me? It's okay. They are still there. Trust that they are there and you can call them to you. But, you know, they also have their own work to do and their own things to do. So, you know, just be patient and trust. They'll come back to you.
That's awesome. So this hour has like truly flown by. Karen, tell everybody where they can reach you. If you have anything coming up that you want to promote or whatever, now is your chance.
Absolutely. You can see my website there by my name, KarenGabler.com. You can look at different ways to work with me on that website. I do intuitive mentorships. I do coaching. I do independent readings, mediumship, soul readings. I am also a member of Soul Journey Sundays. We do monthly readings for the public, and that's souljourneysundays.com, and that'll be coming up shortly. So please continue to check in and feel free to reach out to me and connect with me. I'd love to hear from you.
Awesome. That's great. Yay. This was so much fun. I can't even begin to tell you. I, you know, and like I was saying before, there's something about you that is just extraordinary. I'm so glad that you were able to be here tonight. So you're like, listening to you is like a warm hug. It truly is. So. Oh,
gosh, I love spending time with you. You're such a joy. And I've really had fun being here and being with your audience. Thank you for awesome. The invitation.
Of course. Thank you. And okay, everybody, have a beautiful evening. Thank you for coming. Check out my website. I've got all kinds of new things happening. So if you feel up to it, check out my website, laurieabbott.com. And again, thank you, Karen, for joining. Have a great night, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye.